Good morning and welcome to Summer Missions Chapel. This is absolutely one of my favorite chapels as we celebrate as an Asbury community what God did in and through us this summer around the world. As a student body, you were in 5 different continents and over 23 different countries, from Haiti to Malawi to China. Not only did you serve around the world, but you also served right here in our own backyard, as camp counselors, as ministry interns, and as men and women who love the Lord serving in the workplace. It's been incredible to hear you come back to campus and share about how God moved. We celebrate with you as some of you were able to lead others to Christ. We celebrate as God healed and restored the broken, the hurting places around the world. And we grieve and we intercede with you on behalf of those who have still yet to hear and accept the love of Jesus. So today we celebrate, we remember, and we continue to surrender our lives to God to be used wherever and whenever for his glory. After chapel today, there will be a missions bash outside the cafeteria from 11 to 1. Please stop by and talk to the missions representatives and see how you can be involved this year in building God's kingdom right here in America and around the world. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you your chapel speakers for the day. Mr. Timothy Bradshaw, he is a member of the Anchor class. The current RA of Johnson Second East, the Wolfpack. He's also a member of the basketball team. He's an accounting major and sports management minor. One thing that you should know about Timmy is that he loves and is passionate about Jesus and coffee. Shannon Rayo is a member of the Ransom class. She's currently studying social work in equine. She's a member of the Hunter Jumper Club, Allion, and Sacred Life. She is from Yonkers, New York, and is passionate about God, missions, and elephants. Claire Vanderemes is a proud member of the Anchor class. This summer, 3 of her greatest passions, communications and graphic design, fighting the injustice of prostitution and trafficking, and making the name of Jesus known, all collided in San Jose, Costa Rica. She spent 2 months as a public relations and graphic design intern with Face of Justice Ministries. Now, would you prepare your hearts as they come to share?
So yeah, my name is Timmy, Tim, or Timothy, whatever you prefer to call me. I've heard it all from professors to friends, so to my grandma who calls me Tim. She's the only one in my family that does that. I'm a proud member of the Anchor class, as she said, and I play on the men's basketball team here at Asbury. When I first found out that I would be speaking in chapel today, I was actually sitting in my room with my brother. We were just kind of chilling. I checked my email, and it said, "Timmy, you've been someone recommended to me to speak in chapel about your mission trip this summer." And at that moment, my heart sank immediately because I knew I was going to say yes. I knew it was something that I couldn't pass up, but it was something that would be me going out of my comfort zone, and it was something I definitely needed to do. So I just want to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the ability to come up and to pray to you, to ask you for peace, and to ask for your words, Lord. And I pray that your words will be the ones that are said today. Thank you for this university. I thank you for this trip I was able to go on. And I give you all the praise and all the glory for it all. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We had a unique opportunity to serve in Puerto Rico as the men's basketball team this summer. And if it tells you anything, the moment that we got back, I told Paul Nicewander, a lot of y'all know him, that I'm ready to go again. But I didn't even want to go home, really. It was just something that was, it really had an impact on me. In total, it was a 7-day trip. So our average day, we'd wake up around 7 a.m. We'd eat breakfast pretty early. We'd split up into our couple groups, which I'll get into later, and go do our work till about 1, 2, maybe 3 o'clock. Come back, eat, shower up, whatever you got to do, and then we would practice or have a game. And if we had time, we would, if we had any free time, one day we went to the beach. Another night we went and watched a professional game in Puerto Rico. So it's pretty cool. So the major thing that I want to get across is that we did everything together. That's one of the things that I want you all to remember. What we did, we split into 2 groups. The first group went to a church in Mayagüez. It's about a 2-hour trip to where their pastor recently passed away. And the church had gone down basically to nothing. There were maybe a couple members, but it was really weak. It just wasn't, when that pastor passed away, it really hurt the attendance there. So a pastor from another church, John Gidley was his name, he helped us out, and he was kind of subbing in as their pastor for a little bit, but they didn't have much support. So we were able to repaint the outside of the church, and our goal there was to make it more presentable because it was in pretty rough shape. And you know, if you look at a church and it's all rusty, you know, just not looking good, it's kind of not really appealing. You don't think they take care of the church much. So we painted that. Group two went to the home of Felix and Josephina, which this was an old couple, probably the sweetest couple you'll ever meet. And they their house actually caught fire. It was an electrical fire. And where their house is made of concrete, the charred paint was all over the walls, and it was black, and it really looked terrible. So we went in there and scrubbed the walls, and we were able to repaint that in the time that we were there. I really saw God working through our team in many ways, and one of those is in relationship. I feel like we grew closer together, but also grew in learning and meeting other people in Puerto Rico. Last week in chapel, we learned about this idea or concept of oneness, where we are the body of Christ, and we work in unison together with Christ as the head, and that's the most effective way. And I believe that this applies to our team here at Asbury, as well as you guys here at Asbury, but also beyond. After games, one way that we minister out, whether it was in Puerto Rico or even after our games here at Asbury, is we pray. Win or lose, we pray. We make sure that God gets all the glory for all that we do. And we also work hard. We, in practice, day in and day out, we always go and give it our best as if we're doing it for the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, "In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And I believe this really applied to our mission trip, that no matter what we were asked to do, and our group was, I think, very, very good at this, we didn't complain. We just went out and did it. We woke up early. We went and got the job done. And even after a long day, we went and practiced. We actually had one of our best practices we might have ever had down in Puerto Rico. It was very challenging, very tough, but I think it definitely helped us as a team. So this is how I saw God work through our team, is the fact that we did everything together. I saw our team come together as one unit to accomplish one goal, which is to do God's will. When we hear of individuals like Felix and Josephina, who said their prayers were answered by us being able to come up there and pray for them and to help paint their house, it gives you a secure feeling that it was a God thing, that we knew that he was in it. And the great thing about that is we were preparing for this trip for months previously, and this just ran, you know, this happened to them weeks before we showed up. It wasn't in our plans to do it, but it's kind of cool to see how God can connect one to another and answer prayers in that way. And that we were just there to go serve, and that just they needed someone because they were too old to go out and do all the things that needed to be done to that house. And their son was mentally ill, so he wasn't able to help them much either. So little did we know with the impact that we would be able to make there. And at the church, locals, I thought this was really cool because I did a lot of my work at the church, but locals around were asking Santos, was this guy who was representing us there, and he was out speaking to the people who lived out near the church. They could see the church. And he was asking, what are those guys doing? Why are they painting a church that no one goes to? And who's paying them? Where are they getting the funds for this? And it's a great testimony to be able to tell those people that they paid to come here, and they paid, you know, they raised money to come here and paint that church. It's not something they were mandated to do or they felt obligated to do. They just came and did it out of the kindness of their heart. So God working through me, kind of separate from the team, just me personally, honestly believe that a prayer had been answered from years ago, actually my freshman year, just asking God to give me something to go out of my comfort zone for you, give me work for you. And I believe that speaking in chapel today is kind of the summing up of it. And then the mission trip was the beginning. He gave me an opportunity to go serve and to get out of my comfort zone and see what it was like elsewhere outside of the States. So one of the main things that I learned on this trip and throughout the summer is that it's all about Jesus and his glory. in all that we do, whether we're a basketball team together and we play, we should strive to glorify God in our play and in our work ethic. Whether it's in the classroom, with our academics, we should strive to get the best grades that we can get while we're here. Because we get to be, you know, we get to be players, we get to be students here. It's not something that we're guaranteed. And speaking today, in the mission field, we should give it everything that we have and do it all for His glory, knowing that He's in it and He goes before us. It's all about, it's everything that we say to our classmates. It's how we treat people. So we need to ask ourselves, how would Jesus would respond? How would He respond in situations, whether in the mission field, on the court, in the classroom, whatever? What would He do? And that should be our goal, to be as close to Jesus as we possibly can be. An interesting, there's something that really stuck with me, was in the last night we had a Bible study, a devotion, where Chad, who's the leader there, he pointed out something to me that was kind of incredible, at least for me it was. He said that whether you came, so speaking to us basketball players, whether we came there with the intent to serve God or not, He used us. He used us for His will and His kingdom and to further that. That just really stuck with me personally. So I just want to thank you all for your attention today. I pray that God will be with you and that you will be open to His will for your life, even if that means going out of your comfort zone. I love you guys, and I'm always here to support you. And if you ever see me on campus, please don't be afraid to stop and say hello, even though I've been told I'm unapproachable by some people. So I apologize for that. You ask why, and the reason is why I'm here for you guys is because that's what Jesus would have me do. So thank you all, and God bless.
Bring it down because I'm very short. As Jeannie said, I'm a proud member of the Ransom class. But she didn't say that I'm a proud member of Second Crawford, the kinship, and that I was so blessed to be able to spend 6 incredible weeks in South Korea this summer with One Mission Society. I'd actually traveled there the summer before, but was able to experience so much more this year thanks to the initiative grant and God's goodness just overflowing in my life. South Korea today is a technologically advanced society. The greater Seoul area would probably swallow Wilmore and then some. And getting the latest cell phones and keeping up with a lot of trends is everyone's favorite hobby. However, in contrast, North Korea is isolated and very dependent on their agricultural production. It was shaped largely by the Kim regime, and very few people are able to become Christians if you live in North Korea. There's a huge contrast between these two countries, but one key thing to note is that they were once united, and many people today are still actively praying and working towards unification between North and South Korea. It's kind of a controversial thing. Some people don't want it, but there's still such a common language and bond between the two. But in South Korea, the church has had the opportunity to grow and develop in ways that are just unimaginable. I love attending services in Korea because you can just feel the passion they have for God, and especially in worship, there's just so much love there. It has so much potential to influence the rest of East Asia that hasn't widely accepted Christianity in their hearts, like the nation of Japan. It's funny because One Mission Society came to both of the countries, and there's just such a distinct difference between how Korea has accepted, but Japan has such a small percentage of Christians. Especially because South Korea's media is so popular around Asia, they have a really big opportunity to influence for God. They also have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus for North Koreans around them. Many North Koreans have been able to escape via routes in China and Southeast Asia. However, like in America, problems with materialism and a pressure to be perfect, that is apart from God, has reigned in the hearts and minds of South Korea. It's really similar to America, and we often forget about our neighbors that are all around us. This year, I was able to see firsthand ways that people are mobilizing in Korea for the rest of the world. At Adventures in English, or as we call it, AIE, we had a two-week English camp for Koreans, and these were mainly missionary candidates who are planning to serve God in many different parts of the world. We guided the conversation for this camp for teens and adults, and our aim was to speak only English from 8 a.m. to 8:30. It wasn't really that hard for us, but some of the others had some problems. But it's so critical for the missionaries and students in South Korea to learn English, because in our globalized society, English is just so widely known, and you can talk to anyone and make connections. One of my students actually had to learn English so she can learn Bengali, because her teacher would only speak English. So it's like a triangle of language learning. It amazed me to come back to school and learn that our theme was going to be unity and oneness, because that's how much we focused on it all throughout camp. Our theme at AIE was Make Us One, having a sense of unity with not just each other, but for the rest of the world. So as one body, we worshiped together, we shared our testimonies, and we played games and other activities and developed chapel services for the whole camp to be part of. Our theme of unity continued at a four-day English camp for North Korean refugees called AIE for UK, or Adventures in English for United Korea. This was an amazing experience because the refugees have had just so much to praise God for, and we could see that in their lives. The language barrier between us and the North Koreans was greater than we had experienced at the previous camp, but we were praying that the language barrier would go away. Our prayers may have worked too well, because there was just so much love there, and by the end, the language barrier didn't even seem to exist. It was amazing to be able to eat together and worship and just spend time as a family. And at the end of camp, we even hugged, which isn't normal in culture there. It was so funny and strange, but good. It worked. One of our most powerfully unifying moments that I experienced there was being able to go to a lookout point and actually see North Korea. For a lot of the refugees, it was the first time they were able to see the home they left behind again. There was a huge sense of hope among them because they are in South Korea and there's so much opportunities there. But there was an incredible sense of loss and pain looking at the home they had to leave behind. You don't think about how much it is their home and how much they actually long to be back in North Korea. One of our students, named Jay, had arrived from North Korea just last year, and her English was amazing. It was phenomenal. But she told us that while she loved the South and being in South Korea, she really missed just the home, like her home, and being able to eat good food and the clean air and breathing. So there's still a lot of pain in that transition. While we were at the lookout point, we stood in a circle and prayed together for unification and peace between North and South Korea. And I could just feel God in the midst of that circle. He has so much love for everyone from North Korea and South Korea, and we were able to be unified in that moment and just not understand, but see the pain there, but also hope. I'm still processing everything that has happened in South Korea. I actually came back 4 days before school started, and so it was a little crazy to get back in the swing of school things. But a huge takeaway from my experience that I want to leave with you is that God is present everywhere. He's the God of North Korea. He sees the suffering from refugees in China, and he's present in the city of Wilmore right here. He's at work in so many ways around the world, from English camps to church planting, just so many mission opportunities that aren't just missions, but his work and for his people. And as his body, we can be part of it as one unified team. Our theme verse at AIE was John 17:21-23. And I'll close with that. That all of them may be one, Father, as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and they and have loved them, even as you have loved me. And if you are interested in South Korea, One Mission Society is right here, and we have a ton of other people who have gone to South Korea before as well on campus. So get connected, and it's an amazing place. And even if South Korea is not your place, know that we are unified in God. Thank you.
Hello, Asbury. I'm still Claire, still anchored class. So when I got back from back here to school, everyone's like, how's your summer? And I just kind of like feel like it was so great. And I didn't mean that in like a cliche missions way. I meant that because it was one of the greatest honors of my life to be able to go to Costa Rica with Spencer Smith and Morgan Newton, shout out, and to join in the work that God has been doing, did, and is continuing to do there. So it was absolutely an honor, and it was so great. So here's why. Face of Justice is the ministry that we worked with. We interned with them, and the basic, like, their mission and their goal is to see prostitution, human trafficking, and sexual exploitation among men, women, and children just be completely, like, restored in God's name. In Costa Rica. But, like, aside from, like, that being their mission, they're, like, one thing at the end of the day that they're about is about God's love and about providing to these people on the streets this agape love that we can't fully understand. So as we walked into this and walked into this ministry and understanding what it's like, the Lord taught me so much about his love and brought me to a place of understanding that at the end of the day, when all else is put aside, the only thing that I have to offer the people on the streets in Costa Rica, and the only thing I have to offer anyone ever, is God's love. So for our ministry, we were on the streets 3 times a week. Twice a week, we would do street ministry, and then the third time on Thursdays would be at the largest brothel in San Jose called Hotel Del Rey. We'd load up with coffee and cookies and iced tea, and we would just go down across the street from this brothel and just bring light into the darkest part of the city. Just pray with people, talk to them, build relationships. And at this point, like on Thursdays, our goal was to reach out to the Johns, which are the buyers, and the traffickers. So as we talk, we're also there just to pray. We're there to pray that Hotel Del Rey means Hotel of the King. So we want to pray that the Hotel of the King becomes a Hotel of the King. So that was Del Rey. But kind of the heartbeat of the ministry was our street ministry. And we would, again, coffee, cookies, iced tea, load up in a car, and just go to love the men, women, and transvestites working on the street. And every time we drive around, we see when we stop, we just want to be a family to them. We just want to be like a safe haven to them for that 10, 15 minutes as we talk And that time that we have building relationships and showing them love, which is truly like what it's just about, because that's the only thing that will bring them freedom is the love of God. His is the victory. It just reminded me of a passage, Isaiah 55, which was so instrumental in me making sense of what even like I was doing there. And I'm just going to read the first verse. If you want to turn there, feel free. As we go, we're going to the streets to talk to these people, to bring them and to offer them the Lord's love and invite them just to taste the living water. And so Isaiah 55 is that. It's exactly that. It's an invitation to the thirsty. So it says, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. So God, just as he invites the thirsty and as he's invited me to taste the living water, to take up this bread that satisfies all hungers, at no cost, it's just this open invitation into God's economy. It's just like, here it is, have at it. And so it's out of the abundance of that that we could go out and minister to these people. So July 16th, it's like three quarters of the way through our time there. I'll preface this day by just saying that I was in like this moment, this whole day really, of just selfishness and pride. There were things like from home, things about going back to the States, and 2 months of this ministry just kind of hit me like all at once. And I shouldn't have gone out to even minister. But the Lord made something good out of my brokenness. And the translation of this pride was when I saw prostitution that night, instead of living in that abundance of God, it was just so deeply disturbing to me. So we were in the van, and I just had a really tough time, like, even talking to these people, even seeing, like, women get in cars. It was really, really difficult. And everyone was kind of out. It was late at night, and my Costa Rican friend Byron and Morgan and I were just sitting, chilling. And we saw a transvestite kind of off in the distance, and we said, we need to go minister to him. So we get out of the van. We take him coffee, take him cookies. We talk to him. He's, like, got his earbuds in, kind of doing his own thing. But yeah, they're like, okay, well, that was great. Time to go back. Time to leave. Call it a night. It's like midnight. And then these three guys come over, and they're like wearing heels. Like not sure really what's going on. So we talk with them, and we spent like 20 minutes with them. They're pretty drunk. And yeah, it was kind of the weirdest thing. So as we just pray, one of them, Josue is his name, he just, we're all like in a circle huddled up praying, and he has his arm like so closely around me, just like drunk, like kind of falling over and kind of doing his own thing, and I just remember like cringing, just being like, God, I cannot do this right now, like not now, Lord, not after the day I've had. And so the prayer keeps going, but God stops me right there, and he's like, whoa, Claire. Whoa. You come to me every day in your brokenness and your guilt and your shame. There's not a day goes by that you don't mess up. And never once have I cringed. Never once have my arms not been wide open to you. Never once have I pushed you away. And he says, if you're serious about being the hands and feet of Jesus, I need you to get over yourself really fast. And I need you to literally hold him up and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So that was cool. God's like, whoa, okay. But it gets better. We finish up praying, and the two other guys' names are Isaac and Jonathan. They're brothers, pastor's kids, just victims of abuse and religiosity, and they've ended up on the street corner in heels. Yeah. So we finished praying, and Isaac, he just kind of says, like, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. And Morgan, like, felt that our time ministry wasn't over with them, and we just continued to talk with them and pray with them. And then, like, before we know it, Isaac's like, I feel like I have this cross on my back, and I just can't get rid of it. And we're like, let me tell you what to do with that. So we're on our knees on this street corner. Talk about, like, God meeting people where they're at, like, across from a gay bar on a street corner where they're selling themselves. And they're just, like, surrendering their lives to God, sobbing. And it's just like Jesus says, John 6:37, he says, it's in red, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Never. Like, he didn't say, hold on, take off your heels, like, we need, then we can pray. He didn't say, like, oh, go get right with your father who's a pastor, and then we can pray. Like, he just wanted them, like, where they are. And he wasn't cringing, and I wasn't cringing. That was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen on the streets. Just the brokenness becoming whole. God just showed me, like, Claire, you have brokenness, and he has brokenness, and your brokenness is no different than his. My story might look different, but it's all the same in my eyes, and the only thing that I have, like, my assurances, none of that mattered in that moment. Like, my achievements, my titles, like, all I had for him was God. And the Lord just, that's what he did. He just showed me that the only thing I have to offer this world is God's love. It's the only thing I had for him. And I can't, like, say this today and not, like, extend that and challenge you guys in that. Like, I've tasted the economy that is so good. And, like, I've been invited in and tasted the living water. And that was my purpose with Jonathan and Isaac and Josue that night, was to show them that. But, like, I can't not say the same thing to you, like, as my Asbury family. So, like, if you haven't, like taken that step into God's economy, he says it's free without cost. Like, I invite you into that today. And if you have, like, praise God. And I just challenge you to come to this point of realizing that God's love is the only thing you have to offer the world, because all goodness stems from that, from his mercy and grace over us. And to begin to operate out of that, to begin to realize that, like, I can love people here at Asbury. Like, sometimes it's honestly harder for me to, like, love my family or love people that are closer to me than it is the people on the streets. But it's so worth it. I'm just going to pray. Close up this time. God, you're so faithful to us. And even when we run away and we hide, or we think we got to, like, fix ourselves up before we just come before you, God, you just, it's just, like, not right. Like, we don't have to. We don't have to do anything. Like, you just said, like, if we're thirsty and we're hungry, we can just come to you, God. And you won't drive us away. And I just thank you for that. I just pray for a spirit of, like, repentance and restoration over this place right now, God. That people would just come to know you and know the richness of your economy, Jesus. God, I just thank you for who you are and for your freedom and your presence in our lives, Lord.